You're listening to Careers and Cocktails, Career Talk with a Twist, hosted by expert recruiter Renee Fry. Let's get this party started.
Hey, party people. Welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. Today, I'm here with Karen Lamb, one of my most favorite people, and she is going to drop a lot of value bombs on us. But first, we're going to make her favorite cocktail, which currently is a bourbon old fashioned. So why are you in this bourbon old fashioned jam?
I don't know. Maybe it's a Corona thing, but it's a new drink for me.
Is it really?
Yeah. We were at a restaurant not too long ago, and they had a happy hour, and I was like, I'll try an old fashioned. We had one a long time ago at Black Sheep. It had an egg on it, like a frothy egg. It was really cool.
Mine does not contain an egg.
Okay.
That's
okay.
I'm sorry.
And I don't know. It's just, maybe it's the smokiness. It's just so different. Typically, I'm a vodka soda person.
Yeah.
So it's just different. It's a drink you can just sip over a long period of time.
Right.
I don't know. I've enjoyed, I think maybe it's come with age, just enjoyed what bourbon has. And
awesome. So yeah, with old fashioned, normally, I mean, all it is it can be made with, it has bitters, sugar, and spirit. And it can actually be made with other types of spirit aside from bourbon. So you could use whiskey, you could use brandy, and my favorite, tequila. I know that sounds crazy, but I love me a tequila old fashioned because tequila is my favorite spirit. So, and then just to share a little bit about bourbon, it's a type of American whiskey and its mash must contain 51% corn. Isn't that fascinating? Hmm. And it's stored in new oak barrels without any additives. And 95% of the world's supply of bourbon comes from Kentucky. So we are going to be drinking Woodford Reserve Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. And we also have Angostura Bitters, which I'm sure I butchered the name, but we use this every time. So what you need is a half teaspoon of sugar, which we already have in our cups. 1 teaspoon of water, which we have here, and you're going to pour that in. And then we have 3 dashes of bitters. You want to?
Sure.
And then we stir this up. Sorry, I only have 1 spoon.
Sure.
We stir it up until the sugar's dissolved. We'll add the ice and then we will add the bourbon. And the bourbon is going to be 2 ounces. That's good enough. All right. I'll add the ice to mine. And what's really cool with this drink is you can have those ice spheres. I apologize. I forgot to make them. But it's really cool. And you have 1 ball of ice sitting in there. Get the 2 ounces of bourbon on the ice. Always serve my guests first.
I like how you roll.
And then we're going to do the orange peel. So I'm not, you know, I'm a total cocktail amateur. I don't claim to be a pro. But we gotta have the garnish of the orange peel because it like will set it off, right? I have no idea how to make it curvy, but we'll turn it. There you go.
Mixologist Renee.
I know you twist it to get more of the flavor out of the orange. So, all right. Let's see how we did.
Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Mmm.
And I feel like the longer it sits, it kind of absorbs that orange. And it kind of gets better as it sits longer.
Well, and the ice melts as well. So, you know, we're not shaking it over ice, which normally infuses the drink with like a quarter of water.
Yeah.
So I agree. And it opens up over time.
Corcusol makes this great glass that you fill. It freezes in the freezer and it's half ice. And then you put your drink on the other side. And so it doesn't water down your drink.
Yeah. I haven't seen those.
Heartland sent us one in our swag package not too long ago.
Oh, I'll have to check those out. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So Karen, tell us about yourself. Give us your elevator pitch.
Oh, okay. Super passionate. I think you know that about me. really, really driven. Super loyal. I feel like I'm a very loyal friend. You know, I just have a passion for helping people. I think that's why this career has been a great fit for me.
Yeah, that definitely shows through.
Yeah, just overachiever, I think, all my life. You know, the bar's way up here and I try to hit up here. So always striving to hit huge goals.
I love that. So I want to share the story of how we met because I think it can benefit people. We actually were at a seminar and we sat down for lunch. And I don't even know how this transpired, but we were talking about how much money we wanted to make, which is unusual for females, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And how did we, all of a sudden we just hit it off and we've been friends ever since. But how did we start that conversation?
I think one of the assignments, we were separated into groups and you and I ended up being together. And I think one of the assignments was kind of like 5-year goals and how you want to achieve and what you want to make and what you want to hit, you know, was kind of a goal setting thing. And you and I just aligned on so many things and we're like, oh my gosh, I just found my new best friend.
Right. But it's awesome to find those people that you can add to your network and mm-hmm. then continue to grow with you and beyond, which I find, you know, obviously it was total destiny for us to meet, but it was so awesome to have another female who had really big dreams and really big goals because it's really hard to find, I feel. Yeah. Or women just don't talk about that kind of stuff as much as men, maybe. I don't know.
I came home that day and I told my husband, I was like, oh my gosh, I met this amazing woman. And we just So it was awesome. And it's been just a great, you know, we push each other.
Yeah, exactly. Cheers to that. So what can we help you celebrate this week?
Well, I just told you before we got started here, we have our virtual awards ceremony tonight, and we're going virtual because of the virus. We missed our conference this year in March, but June actually. So I don't know if I think I finished in the top 10 last year, but that's always a secret till the end because there's a few weighted factors on it. But I just came off my best month ever in sales in 12 years. So June was my largest.
And during COVID.
I know.
Oh my gosh, girl.
Yeah.
Bowing down. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible. A fun month. And it wasn't just like one big opportunity. It was about 15 different opportunities. So it wasn't, you know, we all have the big whales. So it was a super fun month.
That's congratulations. Yeah, I love hearing that. So pretend I'm a kindergartner. I'm like a quarter of the size or 3/4 of the size I am. What do you do for a living, Karen?
So Heartland helps people with their payments, so credit card acceptance in their businesses. We also we're a full liability payroll company, so we help serve our clients in the payroll space. Maybe it might be writing their employee manuals, job descriptions to protect their business. So a big thing is to put a big umbrella over their business to protect it against, you know, claims, unemployment, things like that. Get their employees paid on time. And on the credit card side now with coronavirus, it's just been e-commerce has been huge for us.
Oh, I bet.
Online payments, people being able to get paid faster, hosted web payment pages. So you can just click on a link. Pay your bill.
Nice.
So we really want to make sure our clients can get paid faster and that they have, you know, the latest technology to do that.
Awesome. And now I know you shifted from stay-at-home mom to career superstar. How long were you at home? How did you transition? How did you know you wanted to join the workforce?
Well, I always thought I was just, you know, a career woman and I had my first child and I just couldn't imagine anyone else raising him or, you know, sending him off to daycare and never thought I could make it work, but I did. And I stayed home for 7 years. I did some part-time jobs in that time, waitressing, things like that. And that's where I kind of found a love for sales. One of the part-time jobs I had at that time was working for a garbage hauler. And I did door-to-door garbage sales.
Shut up. You've never told me that.
Yeah. So I'd knock on people's door to see if they wanted to change their garbage service. And I just love meeting people, serving people. And so that was kind of my start in sales because my background's hotel restaurant management. And yeah, so I stayed home for 7 years. And then when my daughter was my last child, entered first grade and was at school full-time, then it was time for me to get back to work.
Awesome. And were you nervous at the time?
No, I was ready. You know, I was working a lot of night hours because you have to find people at home at night.
Right.
And so it was time for me to get working during the day so that I was home with them at night.
Love it. Love it. And where did your desire come from to want to have your own career?
You know, I've always been driven. I always wanted to have, you know, my own thing. You know, just being, I think being a career mom, it's a good balance to be, have a career. Just like my kids now, you know, they're going to go to school and they're going to have a job at college and go to school. I think, you know, having a lot on your plate actually can help you do better sometimes. It's just been, you know, being a career woman has always been a path of mine.
And how did you find Heartland and knew it was the right fit? Because you've been there how many years now?
It'll be 12 in December.
Congratulations.
So in my industry, that's ancient.
Really?
Yeah, the turnover is pretty high because we're 100% commission. So you really have to build relationships. 12 years is a long time, I feel like, with the same company.
So how many people in your cohort have been there 12 years? Or are you one of the very few?
It's probably down to... Now I would say in the direct selling field, there's probably only 20 or 25 of us out of maybe 1,500 reps that have that kind of tenure.
Wow.
I could be wrong because, you know, we're pretty independent entrepreneurs. But it's 12 is a long time in the Heartland world.
And what do you attribute your success to?
Oh, building partnerships, building relationships. I think it's something I'm really good at.
You are. Really good at and maintaining contact. I mean, you, because you're part of some associations too, where your clients are a part of as well. And you always talk about them and the relationships that you have. And so I see that you value that, but how do you maintain that when you keep adding new clients to your book of business?
That's probably one of the more challenging things is to continue, you know, the relationships with network partners isn't hard, but the continuing the touch points with my clients. Because once we get them set up, you know, continuing to let them know about new products, new offerings, things like that. When you have a book of, I mean, I probably have over 600 customers.
Wow.
So that's probably one of my biggest challenges is trying to balance that. And how does that, you know, communication go out? Heartland's done a lot over the years as kind of from a marketing standpoint. So I have a lot of support that way.
Oh, nice.
I have an assistant at our corporate office. So he gives me a lot of backup. And then my husband serves kind of as my service manager.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of balancing what does that look like. I mean, we have some restrictions on how much we can do on our own from a, you know, social media standpoint because we're a corporate. Corporation, so you know that's limited. It has to be approved, but yeah, that's one of my biggest challenges is to continually stay in front with the newest products and newest offerings.
Sure. So how do you, you know, you're in a really competitive space, and how do you set yourself apart from the competition?
My famous line is service 101. I just tell, you know, when people ask how I've been successful, I think my industry is unregulated, and so the barrier to entry to get into merchant services is, you know, pretty low. So people look at it as a commodity, I think, sometimes.
That's fascinating because I just assumed that you would fall in the same bucket as a bank, which is heavily regulated, and to find out it's not regulated.
The only thing that's regulated is like what a bank can make on a debit card. So that's regulated. But the credit, you know, we don't have regulations as far as, I mean, I'll see statements and it's just strange verbiage all over the place. There's not regulations on that. And so for me, I separate myself really by the relationship. So if I ask, one of the first questions I ask when I sit down with a client is, when's the last time you saw your sales rep? Mm-hmm. And I would say 75% of the time, the answer is the day that they installed me. Because they get paid and they're out the door. We get ongoing residuals. So it really motivates me. And, you know, people open new businesses, owners sell, things like that. So it really encourages me to stay in a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to serve my clients.
Right.
So that's a big difference. If you ask my clients what differentiates me from maybe someone they had before, I think they would say my response time and the service that I offer.
Awesome. I love that. So I'm super loud in your face, wear my passion on my sleeve. You're equally passionate about what you do, but do you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert? I'm curious.
Oh, definitely an extrovert, but I do have times where I'm like, I need just me time. I need that time to, and that space to just, whether it's on a, usually it's on a bike ride lately. You know, I've been,
oh my God, miles, you're going crazy miles.
So whether it's a 50-mile bike ride, which I did last weekend, that's a lot of hours just to have to yourself. But definitely, I think most people would tell you I'm an extrovert for sure.
Yeah. And how do you stay energized? So you take time for yourself, and then how do you stay, like even during COVID where now we can't see people as much, how do you keep your energy with your extroversion up?
Well, Zoom.
Oh, there you go.
Right.
How's that been for your clients?
You know, it's good. It's actually, I think, cause I have clients all over the country. So some of the clients I have, I've never met face to face. So it's been an opportunity to put a face to a name, because one of my biggest partners is in the point of sale space, and I work with their customers all over the country, and typically it's just email and phone calls. So it's given me the opportunity to actually meet them over Zoom, which I think it just builds a stronger relationship.
Right.
Because you know who they are. It gets a little more personal. Mm-hmm. So as much as we're kind of all tired of Zoom right now, it does. This morning I had my networking group with 80 people on Zoom.
Wow.
And it's amazing how they pull that off. So I think that, you know, just continually, you know, we've gone out with some friends as you know, we have a home in Wisconsin. So we, you know, we're at the lake a lot and out on the boat and things like that. So we're still socializing a lot, just in really small groups.
Sure, sure. And speaking of network with your big 80 people Zoom meeting, you're one of the best networkers I know. How do you network and what, share some of your secrets, Karen?
My biggest focus on networking is to align myself with someone that meets with the same client I do. So that would be, you know, someone that in direct sales. Mm-hmm. So those are great partners for me. So maybe someone in the telecom space, food reps, you know, US Foods. I know people from US Foods, Cisco, people that are knocking on the same door I am.
Sure.
So that's always a good starting point for me. And then on the payroll side, you know, it comes down to CPAs and accountants that I love meeting. I'm pretty strategic about how I go about those relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, any networking group, you're going to find kind of the multi-level marketing people and those, which nothing against them. I order from those type of people all the time.
Right.
But they're not really my target market.
Right.
When it comes to networking.
Right.
You know, so meeting people that know the C-suite of a business or of a corporation. So I'm pretty strategic on how I go to market with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just being direct and asking for introductions in my network because it is pretty broad now after 12 years.
Right.
And, you know, just today, this morning, it just amazed me how small the universe is. I got a text from a friend who owns an insurance company and he said, oh, you got to meet this guy. He's in direct sales for this technology company. And then this morning, right after my B&I group, the business attorney says, you have to meet this woman with this technology company, and it's the same company.
Oh, that's funny.
And they have like 20 employees. And
so you were referred to
the same company.
Oh, with two contacts at the company.
In literally 9 hours.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
I'm like, that is a small universe. So
right.
It's just, it you know, is. I was just, and I emailed her. I'm like, oh, someone last night introduced me to Matt. And she's like, I'm convinced Matt knows everybody in Minnesota.
Oh, that's funny.
So they want to talk there. She just acquired the company. So she wants to talk about payroll.
Awesome.
But just, it's funny how it works that way.
Yeah, for sure. So it's not all rainbows and unicorns. What's your biggest failure and how did you overcome it?
I think at the beginning, because I wasn't, you know, I was doing door-to-door sales, which is definitely a different sale. You know, meeting with business owners is different than meeting with just a resident of a home.
Sure.
I think at first it was, they say puke on the table, I think is kind of the sales term that's used, right? I wasn't an active listener the first few years, and I had a lot of
So are you
of
talking back with the garbage sales, or are you talking about...
No, now with Heartland. Oh, so I think at the beginning it was like, I was so passionate and so excited about Heartland and what we had to offer.
Yeah.
That it's like, let me tell you everything I have to offer.
Sure.
Right? Instead of actively listening and saying, you know, how did you get in the business? Tell me a little about yourself. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times someone will walk up to me and go, oh, here's my credit card statement. I suppose you want this. And one of the biggest tricks I learned was I would turn that over and I would say, I have not earned the right to see that yet. So it would kind of put them at ease, like, oh, you're just not going to be like the rest of them that just want to lower my price or cut the
right.
price.
Great tactic. Where'd you learn that?
I think from a sales coach. So it was really, you know, just turning around, you know, at the, like I said, failure at the beginning is just talking too much, not being enough
so
of
when,
an active listener.
When did you make that determination that you needed to change your approach?
After 2 years of not being very good in sales.
Oh.
And getting a business coach.
Got it. Yeah, I remember, so I graduated college and went into insurance sales, and I would go door to door, business to business, to try to get in touch with the controller to quote their business insurance. And then I would go back to my office at night and call out of the phone book to quote individual auto and home insurance, right? And as I reflect back, I was like you, like, let me tell you what we can offer you. And I wasn't looking around their office to say, oh, how old is your kid?
Yeah.
Or I was all like straight direct, straight business. And I'm this like 23 years old. And I thought, oh, there's no way I can relate to these people. But in retrospect, there's always something, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can relate to that.
Well, now with the advantage of websites, right? So you go on a website and there's like about us. So
yeah.
There's so much you can learn just from like, hey, I heard you started the business for this, or you have a passion for this charity. They might say on their website, and maybe you have a passion for the same charity.
Yep. I've used that tactic when I used to work at Target Corporation with some of the really high level executives.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, when you have that connection of something they're passionate about, they like spill their guts to you.
Mm-hmm. Great
or
LinkedIn,
tactics.
You know?
Oh,
look
yeah.
up, everything's on LinkedIn. So you could look at even their connections. Like, hey, yes, I looked, I was doing some research. I saw you on LinkedIn. I you know Renee Fry. How do you know Renee Fry?
Yeah.
You know? So anything you can do, I think, to give yourself the edge up. But you know, we go back to early mistakes. You know, it's just not listening enough and not understanding. You know, it's all a learning curve.
Right, right. Well, clearly you overcame it because you're in the
top
10,
learning,
baby.
We are always learning. Always growing, so. I'm not done yet. Still got to grow.
Never. Tomorrow's a new day. So, Karen, you're sitting down with your 20-year-old self. What would you say?
Well, so I think when you're 20, I have a 20-year-old and I have an 18-year-old. I don't think you're really into, you don't know yourself enough, right? So my 20-year-old, I would tell my 20-year-old self to read a lot. I wasn't a big reader. I'm much more of a reader now. And now we have podcasts and everything else. So we can do so much growth through those podcasts. I would tell my 20-year-old self to read more, to probably have more self-confidence, and just to put yourself out there more.
Yeah.
I think you're shy. My 18-year-old came home the other day and she now has her own photography business. So she works with adults a lot and, you know, the parents shooting senior pictures. And she's like, she used to be afraid to like go up to someone and, you know, like, oh, I need to return this.
Wow.
Or I don't,
seriously.
She wouldn't do that. And she came home last week and she's like, Mom, I'm so much more confident just in talking to adults.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the photography and having to tell someone what to do, what position.
Yeah.
So definitely, I think at 20, you don't realize that, you know, the sky's the limit.
Right.
You put a lot of barriers on things.
Right.
And I definitely would read more and would dive more into growth and development. You just don't know that at 20, that's something you should do.
Yeah, you don't. I got
You're
into
trying to
that
figure
in
out
my
your
mid-30s,
way. Yeah.
Which, thank God. So what's your favorite book or podcast that you listen to?
Right now, I'm following Born to Impact with Joel Marion. And so it's kind of the 5 P's. And I'm still kind of getting through all of it. So I just started that podcast the last 3 days. I love Andy Frisella of the MF CEO Project. He's a little crash, a little, he's got some harsh language, but he just puts it out there. He gets the message across. You know, books right now, I'm reading Brené Brown.
Yeah, you're on a Brené Brown tier. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
But she's magnificent.
Yeah. So, but I'm always looking. I mean, that's why, you know, you reached out to me the other day and asked, what are you reading right now? I think we can pull from other people and what they're reading and growing from.
But yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I've become more of a reader than ever before. And I'll be an empty nester in 3 weeks. So I am sure I will be even more of a reader.
And how are you emotionally handling that transition?
You know, I'm not one that... I mean, I'll cry for a minute probably when my daughter goes off to school. But I'm ready to rip the house apart and reorganize everything. You know, they have done... I raised them to be strong adults. They're very good students. They're very much... they're on their path. And to me, it's they're ready for the next chapter. And so it was my job as a parent to prepare them.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for them.
Cheers to you.
Yeah.
Raising great independent kids. Awesome. Where can we find you?
On LinkedIn. You just type in Karen Lamb and you'll see me with Heartland there and you can connect with me there.
Perfect. I have one other question. Now, how do you feel about this? I have a lot of friends named Karen, and I get really offended when they talk about the Karens, but I want to go there. How does that make you feel?
I have no problem with it. Someone sent me a joke yesterday
about
it. Yeah, and they're like, this is so you, but in a good way. I mean it in a complimentary way. It's kind of like we met a girl last month that was named Alexa, and I was like, how's that for you?
Right. Isn't that funny? Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah. That's so funny. All right.
My kids say it. Don't be a Karen. You're being a Karen.
Are you kidding me? And they say it to you?
Yeah.
That is so funny. I know. Who do you think picked the name? Like, who's the person who gets to determine that?
Yeah, maybe it's Renee next.
Maybe it is. There's not a lot of us, I don't think. All right. Well, thank you so much
for being here
and sharing all the wonderful insight. Thanks for joining me.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are thrilled to have made a worldwide impact with listeners in 9 different countries. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to subscribe to Careers and Cocktails on YouTube and drop us a review on your favorite podcast app. If you're looking to update your resume or you're stuck in your career, I'm designated by LinkedIn as the top resume writer and career coach expert. I even created a resume and e-learning course to help you if you want to do your own resume. It's super simple and extremely affordable. Go to careersandcocktails.com to learn more. I also wrote a book called I Hate Mondays for all of you job seekers who hate your jobs and want to love your Mondays. You can go there for the same information. And of course, I'm up to so much valuable information sharing that for you hiring leaders, if you want to find the secrets to finding the best talent, I have a hiring guide at careersandcocktails.com as well. I am here to share information and help people love what they do. Until next time, cheers.